When my brother and I were little kids, I think our favorite question to ask was why. Anyone else ever asked that question? I think if we're all honest, we all have, right? I remember sometimes we would play a game where one of us would ask why to a question, and we'd keep asking why. You ever played that game? Until the person runs out of answers, and finally they're just like, because! And then the answer is, why? Yeah, exactly. You know, I've had many times in my life where I've asked why. I know personally, one of my biggest whys that I remember asking was, God, why would you let my health fall apart less than 2 years after I dedicated my life to full-time mission service? Why would you let me go in a wheelchair? Why would I have to say no to 15 job offers and go home to be bed rest for 2.5 years? Why would I have to retire from canvassing at the age of 23? Robert heard some of those questions. He was there in the thick of it with me. Why? Yesterday would have been Daniel's dad's 73rd birthday. He was an active elder, teacher, pathfinder, leader, loved by all. Why? This year would have been my dad's 66th birthday. He had a heart attack at age 58 and lost all of his mental stability for the last 8 years of his life. Actually, no, it was 56, excuse me. He helped so many people find health. He shared God with all his patients. Why? This week, Uncle Daryl was diagnosed with cancer. He's been like one of the most amazing role models in my life. Minister, youth leader, pathfinder director, teacher, principal, worked in the conference office, just retired a few months ago. Why? But you know what? We're not the only ones that ask those kind of questions. And I'd like to take you on a journey with me through the Bible. And you're either going to need a pen and a pencil or be able to turn the pages of your Bible quickly, because we're going to look at a lot of text. So strap on your seatbelts. Let's start in the book of Job. Job chapter 3, verse 11. She brought her notebook. She's smart. Job chapter 3, verse 11. Job says something very... not something you would expect to see in the Bible, okay? Does that make sense? He says, why did I not die in the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why was I even born? You know, that was in the Bible. We're not the only ones that have asked why. Psalms. We're going to spend most of our time in Psalms. So if you're in the book of Psalms, we're going to go chronologically through it. It should be easy for you to find the passages. Psalms chapter 6, verse 6. David says, I am weary with my groanings. All the night I make my bed to swim. I water the couch with my tears. Why, God? Why would you allow this? You know, those are the perfect examples we find in the Bible of despair. Why? Despair. Why? God, are you even there? But most of the time when we see the word why in the Bible, especially in the book of Psalms, it's where is God? Where is God during this time? Psalms chapter 10, verse 1. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Where are you? Why are you so far away? Psalm chapter 22, verse 1 is a classic passage that most of us have heard before because Jesus himself quoted it. Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Jesus quoted those words himself on the cross. My God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? Psalm 74, verse 1. David says, Oh God, why have you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Why? Why, God? Where are you? In the same chapter of Psalm 74, but looking at verse 11. Why do you withdraw your hand, even your right hand? God, please pluck it out of your bosom. Where is your hand? Where are you, God? Turn with me to Psalm chapter 88, because I want to actually look at most of this chapter on this one. Psalm chapter 88, a prayer of David to God. Where are you? Psalms chapter 88. You have time to look this one up because we're going to read quite a few verses in this chapter. Starting at verse 1. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to the grave. I am counted with those who go down to the pit. I am like a man who has no strength, adrift among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave whom you remember no more and who are cut off from your hand. He says, God, I'm ready to die. Why? Where are you? Verse 6. You have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness and depths. Your wrath lies heavy upon me. You have afflicted on me with all your waves. You have taken away my friends, my acquaintances far from me. You have made me abomination to them. I am shut up and I cannot get out. David's saying, God, I have nobody. I have no friends. I have no family. I am alone. And where are you? And why? Verse 9, my eye wastes away because of my affliction. Lord, I have daily called upon you. I have stretched out my hands for you. Will you work wonders for the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise you? Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But, I love that but. In the midst of all this why, in the midst of all this stress and struggle and misery that David is in, he says, but to you I have cried out, O Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. But Lord, why? Verse 14, why? Why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I have been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffered terrors. I am distraught. Your wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They have come around me all day long like water. They have engulfed me all together. Why, God? Why? Loved ones and friends, you have put far away from me. My acquaintances are in darkness. Why? Can you relate to any of this with David? God, where are you? Why aren't you listening? Do you hear me? If you turn to Psalm chapter 44, verse 23, you find a cry of David, God, to God, to come back. Return to us. We need you. He says in Psalm 44, 23, awake, why are you sleeping, O God? Arise, do not cast us off forever. Wake up. Wake up, God. Does that remind you of any stories in the New Testament? Why are you asleep, God? Let's look at that. Keep your finger in Psalms. But Mark chapter 4, verse 35 is where we find that story in the New Testament. Mark 4:35-38. It says, the same day when evening was come, Jesus said to the disciples, let us pass over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And when he had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there grows a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. But Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Asleep in the storm. The major storm. So the disciples awoke him and they said, Master, do you not care that we perish? Wake up! Where are you? You're in the boat! God, are you asleep? Why? Where are you? Turn with me now to Psalm chapter 42. And we're going to look at this whole chapter, or no, not the whole chapter, but a section of it. Psalms chapter 42. Do you have time to turn there? David, once again, is crying out to God. He says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. God, I want you. I want you. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to church, the house of God. I went with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the pilgrim feast. And now he says to himself, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for yet I shall praise him. For he is the help of my countenance. Oh my God, he's speaking back to God again. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember. What is he remembering? I will remember you from the land of Jordan. I will remember when you parted the Jordan River and Israel walked across it on the dry land. I will remember when you destroyed Jericho. I will remember your wondrous works. I will remember you from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you, he says to myself, himself again, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For yet I shall praise him. He is the help of my countenance and my God. Through all the whys, David still has hope. He still clings to the fact, even though he does not see God, even does he not feel him, even though he is crying and he's awake in the night, he says, yet I will remember what God has done, and I will trust him, even in the whys. Psalm 30, verse 5, David says, God's anger endures but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Turn with me back a few chapters to Psalm chapter 34, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. Psalms chapter 34, 1 through 8. David doesn't always ask why. Sometimes he is confident in his trust in God, and this is one of those times. The interesting thing is when he wrote this chapter of Psalm 34, this is just after he nearly had the closest call with King Abimelech. He was nearly captured by the Philistines and made a slave or killed, and God miraculously spared his life. And through that trial, he wrote this psalm. I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. They looked up to him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all of those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste for yourself. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Does God deliver? He does. He doesn't always deliver in the way we want him to, but he always delivers. Remember the disciples waking up Jesus on that boat saying, Master, wake up, we're going to die. What did Jesus do? In Mark 4:39, he arose. Jesus arose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But Jesus didn't stop there. What did he say next? Why were you afraid? Oh, ye of little faith? How is it that you have no faith? I was in the boat. But the disciples are like, you were sleeping. Were you really there? He says, you have no faith. You know, one of the amazing things that we see throughout the Bible is that there are times when it looks like the wicked are triumphing. When it looks like those who do wrong seem to have everything nice. Those who don't try seem to have a nice smooth path and no problems. Why? Why does it all the troubles seem to happen to us who are actually trying to follow God? Why does this happen? If you turn to Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2, we find a very fascinating picture. And this verse directly prophesied Jesus' death on the cross and his ultimate triumph over his enemies. Did Jesus have it easy? He was God. He was here on this earth. Of all people who should have had an easy time, it should have been him. But did he? He experienced everything that we experience, that all of us experience, not just one of us. Everything. And when he died on the cross, when he was hung on that cruel cross, all of his enemies were rejoicing. At last, we have got rid of him. But what does David say in Psalm 2? Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? Why are they angry at God? Why do they think that they can overcome him? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, against Jesus himself, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. And what does God do? He who sits in the heaven shall laugh. Not laugh and make fun of them, but laugh because they thought they triumphed when Jesus was on that cross. But who really triumphed? God did. The Lord shall hold them in derision. He shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his displeasure. He says, I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I'm going to skip to verse 10. Now, therefore, be wise, O king. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. But blessed are those who put their trust in him. You know, sometimes it seems like the wicked are prospering. Sometimes it seems like they are triumphing, but they aren't. Those who trust in him and God will in the end be the final victors. So we've looked a lot at whys, right? David asks why, Job asks why, we ask why. Did you know that sometimes God asks why? Let's look at some whys that God gives, okay? We're going to flip the tables a little bit. These are not in the book of Psalms, so if you want to just write them down, you can, or look them up with me. First one is Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. God says, "Say unto them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked will turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" God says, why? Why do you go back to your sin? Why do you want it? Why will you die? I don't want this to happen. Why? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 28. Matthew chapter 6, verse 28. "Why do you take thought for raiment?" Jesus says. "Why? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Why do you worry?" God's asking you this. Why? Why do you have any reason to worry? Luke chapter 22, verse 46. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going through his worst agony. He comes to his disciples for a word of encouragement. And what does he find? They're sleeping. And he says to them, "Why do you sleep? Why do you sleep? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation." Why? Why are you sleeping? Luke chapter 24, verse 38. This is after Jesus has risen from the dead. He's walking on the road to Emmaus, and he comes upon these two men that are just down in the dumps, despondent, saying, "Why did God let him die?" And Jesus comes to them and he says, "Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Have you not read what the prophets and Moses have said? Why are you troubled?" I love this one in John chapter 20, verse 15. Jesus has just raised from the dead. He is standing near the tomb, and here comes Mary. And she sees the empty tomb, and she's sure that someone has stolen his body. And Jesus goes up to her and he says, "Woman, why do you weep? Why weepest thou? Why are you troubled? Who do you seek? Why? Why are you crying? I'm here. It's me. Why are you crying?" Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Jesus has just risen from the earth. He's going back to heaven, his ascension. And his disciples are staying there looking for the last speck in the sky as he's disappearing from their view. And there's two angels standing there. And they say, "Why are you gazing into heaven? Why are you looking so strongly for that last little dot? Because Jesus is coming back. Why are you troubled? He's coming back for you, and he's going to take you home to be with him." And then you've got Acts chapter 9, verse 4. Saul, on his way to persecute the saints, he's struck by a bolt of bright lightning and he's blinded as he sees the face of Jesus. And Jesus says to him, "Why do you persecute me? Why do you persecute me?" I love you and I have a plan for you. And I want you to go and tell about me. Is there a God when I'm hurting? Is he there? You know, I started out by sharing my personal experience of why would God let my health fall apart less than 2 years after I dedicated my life to full-time mission service? Why? Because through that experience, I learned to lean on God like I'd never leaned before. I learned how to smile through pain. God wanted to prevent me from doing mission work my own way. I had a plan. I was going to do it, and I had exactly lined out how I was going to do it. God says, "Nope, I've got a better way." The best thing? I would have never married Daniel if my health hadn't broke then. Would have never seen him. Would have never got reacquainted. It was because my health broke that instead of canvassing for a summer, I did homeschool seminars instead and needed a place to stay in Kentucky. Would have never happened. I would have been in Missouri where I was supposed to be knocking on doors. Would have never got reacquainted with Daniel. Why would I have to say no to 15 job offers after I graduated from college and go home to be bed rest for 2.5 years? Why would I have to retire from even part-time canvassing at the age of 23? Why did I get a retirement plaque at the age of 23 in honor of my years of service and canvassing? Because God wanted to teach me how to do ministry anywhere. For 2.5 years, he taught me how to do it in bed by telephone. Robert was a few of those conversations. A lot of other people were too. Secondly, he allowed that to happen because he wanted me to Macquarie County, Kentucky. I would have never moved here. I wouldn't have had any reason to move here. I would have still been, who knows, canvasser, Bible work in how many states? I have no idea where I would have been. He wanted me to start Christina's Kitchen. Wasn't on my list. And he wanted me to meet all of you. My family that I would have never met otherwise. Does Jesus care? Does Jesus care? What does he want us to know? Gracie, I'm calling you. What does he want us to know? He says, "I'm here." Why am I allowing this? Because I love you. But I never wanted sin to begin with. I never wanted you to have pain. I never wanted you to have sorrow. I never wanted you to have trials. I never wanted you to go through this. The devil wants it. The devil's the one who invented pain, who invented sorrow, who invented sickness and death. But God says, "I am here with you. I will hold your hand. I love you and I care, and you are not alone." Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and my way grows weary and long? Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Do you believe that? If you do, I invite you to stand with me as we sing hymn number 181, Does Jesus Care? So my friends, He cares. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? Has the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Oh yes, He cares, I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? Oh yes, He cares, I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Say, don't, to Him does He see. Oh yes, He cares, I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Father, we are so thankful that You care, that You are willing to be there with us, to hold our hand when we are questioning why, to listen, to give us a hug, to say, my child, I love you and I am with you through your pain. And Father, most of all, we thank You that we have something to look forward to, a heaven to look forward to, where there will be no more death, no more suffering, no more pain. And there we will find the answer to all of our whys. Father, we long for that day to come soon. We want You to come quickly and take us home. We thank You and we love You and we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.